Thank you, Scott and Miriam. I always appreciate the music we have here. I know in the Bible it talks about the sheep and the goats. You guys over here might want to think about where you sit on Wednesday night. But tonight we're going to be talking about, in the book of Jeremiah, just the first chapter. I hope you're familiar somewhat with Jeremiah. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and one of the dumbest was back about almost 30 years ago when we had a search committee, and when back before Phil came, and the committee that called him, and I had the brilliant idea, it's all my fault, my bad, I said, let's put out a survey and see what the people want. Oh. God hasn't created the man that would satisfy all of that criteria. I want a Holy Ghost, fire breathing, stomping, and somebody communicates good with young people, somebody communicates good with you, somebody communicates good with old people. Highly trained, we want a 40-year-old with 80 years experience, just all in all. Well, what if the search committee, our present search committee came and said, Sunday, we're going to present to you the man that we have for our church. I bet there'll be a lot of people here Sunday. And they got up and said, we're pretty sure we found the man. Let's tell you about him. He cries a lot. He cries all the time. And he's getting depressed all the time. He's just depressed. And he has great mood swings. He gets mad at God a lot. And he's not a confident person at all. He has no seminary training. We're not even sure he's been to Sunday school. And he's 23 years old. Would we be excited about that man? Well, such is the case of Jeremiah, except the 23 years old. I made that up. We know he was young when God called him. Why could God use a man like that? Could God use a man like Jeremiah? Think about all the reasons God could not use you. We can all think of a lot of them, can't we? When we were under the ministry of Dr. Jerry Vines, we had the opportunity, the pleasure of seeing many young men and some older men called into the gospel ministry. Men who would go down, God's called me to preach. and then some to the mission field. It was so exciting. But as people, when they go down and say, God's called me to preach, we evaluate them. That sounds a lot better than judge, don't it? We evaluate them. We say, boy, he'll be great. He'll set the world on fire for the Lord. And then some go down there where God has called me to preach. Does God know what he's doing? One particular young man went down there and God's called me to preach. I'm going to go to seminary. And I think everybody thought, well, I don't know about this. The young man, and listen to me carefully now, I don't want to offend anyone. He had a stuttering problem. He couldn't say seven words without stuttering. Many of you may have something like that in your family. We have those with speech impediments in our family, okay? How's God going to use him? But the preacher, before he went off to seminary, the preacher would allow him to preach a couple of times. When he stood in the pulpit, he never missed a lick. No stuttering. He'd stutter going up, stutter going after it was over. No stuttering. God knows what he's doing. Well, Jeremiah, you're very familiar, he was the weeping prophet. Jeremiah cried over Jerusalem. Jeremiah cried over Judea. But did not Jesus Christ in Matthew 23? He lamented over Jerusalem. Well, the idea that God calls all believers to serve. We're going to read the scripture in a minute. Don't think I'm not going to read the scripture. We'll get there. The idea that God calls all believers to serve him is not widely accepted today. We still too much have the mentality, well, we pay our staff for that. We pay our staff to go out and witness. We pay our staff to knock on doors. We pay our staff to teach our kids. No. I believe that God wants every believer to serve him. And not just sometime in the future, but now. Well, if you have your Bible in the book of Jeremiah, if you've got Jeremiah chapter 1 there, if you're able and you do not mind, would you please stand? I'm just going to read Jeremiah 1 verses 4 through 10, okay? Jeremiah 1 verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Guide me, Lord, as I do my best to speak about your word here. And Lord, just like we just read, you put your words in the mouth of Jeremiah. Give me the words that I may say to these sweet people tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the word that we have to discover our destiny. It says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me. Those words, the word of the Lord, you find that quite often in the prophetic books, the word of the Lord. Now, what that means is, first of all, this was a heavenly message. This is not someone whose mama called, whose daddy called, who read something in a book, decided they wanted to be this or that for the Lord. You know, a true prophet doesn't speak his own opinion. A true prophet would speak as God led him. And they functioned as God's messengers, okay? Now, Jeremiah does not elaborate here on how the word of the Lord came to him. He just says, the word of the Lord came to me. God could have spoken to him audibly. God could have spoken to him through a vision like many. God could have spoken to him in a dream. God could have spoken to him through another prophet. This is God's standard operating procedure, SOP. Doesn't do it always the same. God chooses a messenger. And you're very familiar with Moses. How did he speak to Moses? Through that burning bush. Who in the world would have thought of that? And then Isaiah, he went into the temple, and there he had a vision of the Lord. God spoke to him through a vision. Samuel spoke to him a voice in the night. And then there was Ezekiel. He spoke to him through a vision and a voice. So God had a purpose for this man, Jeremiah. And he knew that Jeremiah was going to bring his message to his people. Now, Jeremiah could have said no. Jeremiah was a free moral agent, just like you and I are. When God came to him, he said no. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. If he had done that, he would never have discovered all that God had planned for him if he had not responded to God's call. And God wanted Jeremiah to prophesy about the destruction of the nation and the future of Israel. In fact, in verse 5, he says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, in verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I'm not a Hebrew or Greek scholar, but I read that that word formed there is the same word that's used in Genesis 2:7 when it says God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Well, the word formed there, it just talks about being crafted by God. Now, and I know you're familiar with these verses, but I'm going to read them to you again. Out of Psalm 139, just verses 13 and 14, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. And now, this passage, of course, reflects or supports the sanctity of life. Life even before birth, okay? Now, let me say this. Whenever I mentioned the word abortion, through the years, we have friends who have had abortions, ladies. We've, in our Sunday school classes, we've had ladies in there who have had abortions, okay? Now, abortion is a sin. Abortion is murder. But abortion is not the unpardonable sin, okay? Please understand that. All around you tonight, whether you realize it or not, you've got sinners sitting around you. Speaking to you tonight is a sinner saved by grace. So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So abortion is not the unpardonable sin. I was riding in the truck last week, I think, listening to Erwin Lutzer, and he said, in this society we live in today, he said, if you are against abortion, you are a woman hater. So standing before you tonight is a woman hater, because I am against abortion. Okay, I'm not going to say about anything else about that. But in verse 5, he says, you know, depending on your translations, I knew you, I ordained you, I appointed you, I sanctified you. You know, I think that God has a plan for Moses. God had a plan for John the Baptist. God had a plan for Jeremiah. I think God has a plan for you and for I. And it all makes us feel special that God formed us, that God crafted us especially in a special way for him. It may make you feel frightened. It may make you feel scared. It may make you feel thankful. It may make you feel humble, but it should. All right. Well, God's calling is a holy calling. Now go back to verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priest who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Okay? So he's a son of Hilkiah. Hilkiah was a priest. His daddy before his granddaddy was a priest. Well, it was just assumed back then, if your daddy was a priest, you would be a priest. Just like in Exodus, you know, Aaron, he was a priest. His sons were priests. Well, priests, they didn't go around preaching to crowds. Priests would meet people at the altar and they would attend to their various needs. Well, prophets, on the other hand, they would speak to nations, they would speak to groups, they would speak to people, and usually make people mad because it usually was things that people did not want to hear. So when God called Jeremiah, his response may have been, well, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be a priest. But it would have been a lot easier for him if he had just been a priest. He wouldn't have run into all the trouble he did in his life, if you're familiar with Jeremiah. But that wasn't God's plan. God wanted Jeremiah to be a prophet. And it's a holy calling. When we think of a holy calling, people calling people to serve him, to to witness for him, to preach for him. We think of the Billy Grahams and the Charles Stanleys and the John MacArthurs and the David Jeremiahs. But you know, in this room tonight, if we went all around this room, you know, and asked, where are you serving? Some of you would be singing in the choir. Some of you would be working in the nursery. Some of you would be greeters, ushers, working in the parking lot. You know, God calls us to many different things. And you say, well, all I do is I drive a golf cart out here in the parking lot. If God called you to do that, that is a holy calling, okay? Now, it's not a little thing. It's a big thing if God called you. So what's Jeremiah's response in verse 6? He says, behold, Lord, I can't speak. You know, public speaking is right up there among the phobias and fears that people dislike the most. It's right up there with snakes and spiders and lizards and flying and heights and all those things people fear. But you know, here again, around this room tonight, many of you speak before people. If you are a Sunday school teacher, or you're a Bible study teacher, if you teach in the public schools, you know, you teach. If you're in a civic organization where you speak before people, you know, you speak before people. Now, what fears do people have when they speak? Why would Jeremiah say, I can't speak? Well, we're afraid we're going to mess up. We're afraid we're going to stammer. Afraid we're going to forget our place. We're afraid we're going to lose our place. We're afraid we're going to just go blank. And I have done all of that and more. Now, do you think I'm standing here tonight? Do you think I ever get nervous when I speak, like before you? Yes. Every time. Every time I've ever taught a Sunday school class, I got nervous. I do. You know, James talks about that. He says, if you teach, be careful. You'll be held to a stricter judgment. And so, talking to people, it's very serious. Now, what's the next excuse in verse 6? He says, I'm a youth. Well, I think the NIV says I'm only a child. Bible commentators believe that Jeremiah was somewhere between the ages of 16 and 25 when God called him to be a prophet. Okay? Now, why would a young person have trouble? Well, people are older. Well, people, and believe me, just because they're older, they don't know more. But sometimes we think they know more. Sometimes they think, well, if I'm young, they won't respect what I'm going to say. In 1 Timothy, Paul talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Don't let people look down on you because you are young. And in verse 7, what did he say? But the Lord said, the Lord said, don't say I'm a youth, for you'll go to all whom I send to you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. You know, have you ever noticed the man or the woman that God uses is often the one that thinks they cannot do it? What's wrong with thinking we can do it? Well, we don't want to put ourselves down, but we certainly never want to exalt ourselves. Again, in Romans 12 and verse 3, Paul said, let me find it, I've got it marked here. Romans 12 and 3. Told you I had it. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. J. Vernon McGee tells a story. He said a pastor came to him and he was just envy with jealousy of another pastor in the same town. He said, "I don't understand it, Brother McGee." He says, "I can preach better than that guy. I pastor better than that guy, but yet his church is growing. What is it?" And Vernon McGee said, "You see, you think you can do it, but that man knows that he can't do it and that God can do it." So Jeremiah, he felt inadequate, unequipped, like this just wasn't the thing for him. And both of those are legitimate excuses. I'm young. I can't speak. But again, when God came to Moses, what did Moses said, "Lord, you know, I've never been eloquent. You know, I've been slow of speech, you know, and slow of tongue, you know." And God said, "Who made your mouth? Who made the deaf? Who made the mute? Wasn't it me?" You know. And then Isaiah, you know, he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." And when then after one of the seraphs came, put a coal in his head, God said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Bottom line, if God calls you to do something, he'll be with you, he'll equip you, and he'll see you through it. Now, pardon the personal story, but when we were first married, we went to church in Alabama. We lived in Alabama twice during our life, getting transferred back and forth. And we were in a Sunday school class, a couples class. Great teacher. And our teacher was called into the ministry. God wanted him to be a preacher. He was going to go off to seminary. And in fact, twice in our married life, we've had two Sunday school teachers, and both of them were in their 40s, I think, that were called into the gospel ministry, both great men. But anyway, a couple of weeks after he surrendered call, the Sunday school superintendent, y'all remember Sunday school superintendents, he came to me and he said, "Warren, we want you to teach Brother Frank's class." And I said, "No, not going to happen." I said, "You are barking up the wrong tree." I said, "You know me. I'm shy. I don't speak in front of people. And there's plenty of other more qualified people here. You just get somebody else." Well, after church, the preacher came to me. Had a scowl on his face. And he said, "I understand that you're not going to take that class and teach it." I said, "Yes, sir, that's right. I'm not going to do that." I'll never forget what he said. He said, "If you want to take your talent, wrap it up in a napkin, put it on a shelf, that's between you and the Lord." And he turned around, he huffed off. The nerve of that preacher talking to me that way. Preacher's supposed to be loving and kind. They're not supposed to huff off and say things. That afternoon, I went home. I was mad at the preacher. Didn't even get a Sunday afternoon nap. I was so mad at him. And I kept hearing that over and over. "You want to take your talent, wrap it up in a napkin, put it on a shelf. That's between you and the Lord." "I know what I'll do. We'll just change churches, you know. He ain't got no right to talk to me about that." But, B-U-T, but, later on that Sunday afternoon, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. Don't you hate that sometimes? The Holy Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "You need to take that class." Went back to church that night, found the preacher, and I said, "D.T., two things. First of all, I need to apologize because I had some ugly thoughts about you this afternoon. And the other thing, if it's still available, God wants me to take that class, you know. And so somehow God was with us, you know, while we led that class till we were transferred out of there, you know. So we were there doing that about a year. So it was just amazing. But in verse 8, "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Now, don't be afraid of their faces. Now, what that means back in that time, and even today, particularly the prophets, so people would have a scowl on their face because they didn't like what was being said. Preachers today sometimes see people with a scowl on their face. But he says, don't be afraid of their faces, you know, because I'm with you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to deliver you. And see, in verse 9, it says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set before you the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." What he's saying is God will empower us if we follow him and do what he tells us to do. You remember Ezekiel was having a problem, and God said, "Son, eat this scroll." Can you imagine eating that? "Eat that scroll," and he said, "It was sweet to my mouth." And again, in the book of the Revelation, John, he was given a scroll to eat, and it said it was sweet to the taste and sour to the stomach. It was sweet because it was God's word, but it was sour because of the destructive nature of the word of God that was in that. So, verse 9 and 10, "I will put my words in your mouth." That's so important. God inspired the words of Scripture. Now, God will, I'm skipping a few things here, God will equip us. When you think of Jeremiah and all his excuses, you know, other people come to mind. Moses, he had his excuses. Jonah, he certainly had his excuses, turning around. Gideon, he had his excuses, you know. It's comforting to know sometimes that other people have excuses too. But in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm ready to perform my work." Now, what's that mean, the branch of an almond tree? The almond tree was the first tree to bloom in the spring. The almond tree was called a watcher or the awakener. Now, I understand that more alarm clocks are broke early in the morning than in any other time. Now, it's not necessarily because people take them and throw them against the wall, but in their sleep, they're trying to find them and knock them off and they break, you know. What's an alarm clock? Alarm clock. It is a reminder. What's an alarm clock? Alarm clock. It says it's time to wake up. Jeremiah, I want you to be a reminder to the people, and I want you to tell them it is time to wake up. Look at verse 13. "And the word of the Lord came to me the second time. What do you see?" He said, "I see a boiling pot tilted away from the north, facing away from the north." Some translations say tilted away from the north. "And then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land." Well, that pot that was tilted from the north, what that was later on, the inhabitants of Judah would be invaded from the north. And later on, we found out that was the Babylonians. The Babylonians, those bad people. Okay, in verse 15, he says, "Behold, I'm calling all the families of the kingdom of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls and around, and against all the cities of Judah." Verse 16, "I order my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they've forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Serving God's going to bring challenges. Jeremiah had to warn these people in verse 15. He had to tell them things that that they did not want to hear. In verse 16, God's going to use those invaders to punish his people. Behind these invaders stood God. Even though they're wicked people, and you know this, God uses wicked people sometimes to do his will, to punish his own people. In Jeremiah 25, Nebuchadnezzar, that wicked guy at that point, God called him my servant. Why? Because God was using him to root out or to punish his people. In Acts chapter 8, it was the governing authorities that came against that church there and scattered the people. What happened there? As the people scattered, the word of God was spread. The gospel was spread to other nations. What about people like Hitler, Saddam, Nero, those people? God knows what he's doing. This is so, I guess, appropriate for today. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Wicked people that are put over nations today, and good people that are put over nations today, they're put there by God. Now, the good thing is, God sets the boundaries. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. That person can only go as far as God allows them to go. Now, I'm going to try to finish up here. Let me get to my finish up page. Okay, so sometimes when God calls us, it's not exciting. So here's Jeremiah. He's got to cry all the time, just depressed. He's young, had mood swings, no confidence, you know. But he made the right decision. As a result, he became one of the most unpopular, most hated prophets in the Jewish nation, in Jewish history. By human standards, he was a failure. And you know his story. He was imprisoned. He was put in stocks. He was lowered in a cistern to die. The Bible doesn't really say how Jeremiah died. Tradition tells us that Jeremiah probably was stoned to death in Egypt. But in God's eyes, this man was a great success. Why? He simply made the right decision. Followed God's plan for his life. What a reward must have awaited Jeremiah. And when I think of Jeremiah, and I'm fixing to close here, I think of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, you're familiar with that Hall of Fame? I'm just going to read part of it, starting in halfway through verse 35. This is what I think of when I think of Jeremiah. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mocking, scourgings, yes, chains, imprisoned. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. I thought about Jeremiah and all that he went through. And I thought about my life. And I thought, have I really suffered for the Lord? Not really. I've had people make fun of me for being a Christian. I've had people shun me for being a Christian. I've had people laugh at me for being a Christian. I've had doors slammed in my face. But no one has ever physically harmed me because I'm a Christian. Many times I've seen Diane when she witnesses. I've seen people laugh, women laugh behind her back, make fun of her, you know, but nobody's, to my knowledge, has physically harmed her for being a Christian. When I think about this man, Jeremiah, this weakling, so to speak, this weeping prophet, he followed God. What a servant of God he was. And maybe sometimes, and I am weighing with this, you're ready to give up. This following God's not for me. Jeremiah, it sounds like he kind of wanted to give up one time. In Jeremiah 20, in verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." No, I'm through. I'm done with this talking about the Lord and what he wants me to do. "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." What about today, you and I, when we see people that need the Lord? Are we speaking for the Lord? Are we taking advantage of those opportunities that's put in front of us every day? Jeremiah said, "I couldn't keep quiet about the Lord. I just had to speak for him." And I think God wants us today to speak for him and about him wherever we go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for this man, Jeremiah, and there's so much more about him we could say. A man that just surrendered to you, and then he had a terrible, persecuted life. And Lord, most of us will ever go through anything like that. But Lord, help us just to realize that you call different people to different places, do different things. Help us to serve you daily, wherever you plant us. Protect us this night. In your name I pray. Amen.